The ancient Greeks believed that music was literally the universal art, that the cosmos itself was a vast, perfectly proportioned musical instrument that produced perpetual and beautiful sounds. They called that the music of the spheres. The notion of a relationship between music and the structures in the sky hasn't disappeared, as Allison Dean explains.
The Greeks believed that the Earth was at the center of the universe, embedded in its own sphere made of a kind of hazy ether-like substance. The Earth's sphere was enclosed within a slightly larger sphere, which contained the next planet, Mars. This pattern of a sphere within a sphere continued outward with each of the remaining planets, and it was the different speeds and distances between these spheres that they thought made music. If a musician on Earth blew a few notes on a pipe, the Greeks thought those same notes were being sounded by the cosmos.
The music of the spheres is really about the most fundamental things in the universe.
Robert Saxton is a composer and professor at Oxford University who has written several pieces inspired by the idea of music of the spheres.
I think what it means to a musician today is that it's looking for some kind of divine proportion, and in the deep sense of the word, harmony.
Saxton's piece, A Yardstick to the Stars, derives from the Greek fascination with specific measurements of the sky. The music follows the way celestial bodies move at different speeds in relation to one another.
I was on holiday on a Greek island, and I was reading a book with a rather unattractive title, Mathematics in Western Culture, and there's a chapter called Placing a Yardstick to the Stars, and it mentions Hipparchus, who, B.C., before Christ, discovered trigonometry as a way of measuring planetary distance. And I suddenly realized that I was lying on a beach in Rhodes. It could, for all I know, have been the very beach that Hipparchus did his experiments on, because he drew everything in the sand with a stick. So I was rather excited by this. So when I wrote my piece, I just called it A Yardstick to the Stars, which gave the idea of different types of measurement.
Other composers aren't so interested in recreating the specific structures of the cosmos in their music. The avant-garde composer Stockhausen is still interested in the Greeks' general idea of cosmic unity. In his piece Sternklang, or Star Sound, he seduces the listener into sinking into, quote, the cosmic whole. Stockhausen believes he himself is an alien, the music supposed to prepare us for the arrival of beings from other stars.
I've been talking about Saturn for years, you see. I don't remember ever having been there, but I'm sure I'm a citizen of Saturn. But I have been to Jupiter.
The composer and band leader Sun Ra called himself a tone scientist. He delved into every dimension of musical and magical thought, from Pythagoras to the Russian mystic Madame Helena Blavatsky. But he found dissonance in space. When traditional harmony dissolved in his music, he would call that being in a space key.
The people who speak the universal language on this planet, namely musicians, they don't seem to understand anything beyond the earth plane, except the ones I've come in contact with. Now, at first I was talking about music being a universal language. Now I'm saying that music has stepped up to be an omniversal language, you see. That's the eternal, well, the eternal everything, you might say.
These pieces by Robert Saxton, Stockhausen, and Sun Ra are frequently difficult to listen to, but they haven't got a lot more in common than that, which is perhaps strange since they're all evoking the same universe. The music of the spheres has fractured. Joe Dubiel is a professor of music at Columbia University in New York.
You can have the idea of proportion without making any reference to the planets. You don't need the planets to have something go twice as fast as something else. And the real planets don't do that anyway. Music of the spheres has something to do with claiming that your music is aligned with some larger reality, a reality that's not peculiar to Earth, but presumably goes through the entire universe.
Dubiel says people react differently when they're told a piece of music reflects the structure of the cosmos. Some people are reassured if they can plug challenging music into a larger pattern. And some listeners don't know what to say, especially if they don't like it. It's intimidating if the sound of the universe turns out to be something you hate. But, he says, when Sun Ra claimed to be from Saturn, he invited people into music that otherwise might turn them off.
Music of the spheres and music from other planets are two quite different ideas. Music from another planet is a thought that might help people to accept your music even though it sounds very strange to them. Okay? You ask them to believe that this is the music that is native to another sort of life entirely. How would the move of claiming to be from another planet help people? That move might reassure them by telling, well, you know, this music is native to somebody. There are people who are at home, or maybe they're not people, but there's someone who's at home with this.
For Studio 360, I'm Allison Dean.